You have heard me last week. I brought a word saying that we are privileged as children of God. And Jesus, in his thoughts, was saying we are to just come and get what we want. Because the Syrophoenician woman came asking for healing for her daughter. And Jesus said, well, the food is for the children. Let the children have all that they want. Well, today, I want to also encourage you to say that the Lord has done many things, much for us. The Lord has done much for us that we sometimes don't think of. The Lord has done much. And the writer to the Hebrews was like trying to say the same thing. It was like trying to write to a people because every letter has a purpose. When people write letters, there is a purpose. Otherwise, you will not write a letter, isn't it? So we have also here in all the letters of the Bible, they have a purpose. They have a purpose to come to us and to help us, this purpose to help us. So whatever the writer is telling us is a divine inspirations to help us in our time of needs. Well, the writer to the Hebrews, and you have heard the other day, people have debates that who wrote it. I go to Egypt, it's written by Paul. You come here, they say, oh, it's not Paul. Well, you can make your own mind. And if you want to know what I think it's Apostle Paul as well. I could be wrong. Well, the writer is encouraging his readers that much has been done for you not to give up your faith. Because the letter was to the Hebrews Christians, who were running for their life during persecutions. And so they were really tempted to fall back into Judaism. And the writer was to encourage them, to tell them why you should hold fast to your faith. And from chapter 1, it's a long way to go back, isn't it? From chapter 1 to chapter 10, to come back this way. I won't do that. But it started off that God in the past spoke to our forefathers, to the patriarchs, through prophets in various ways, but is speaking to us in these days in his Son. Why Jesus Christ is a voice of God here on earth from 2,000 years ago to eternity. And those who have come to him will never be put to shame. They have come to God. They have come to be in the right place. They have the right faith, authentic faith, because it's in Christ. God has fulfilled all that he has made. The promises all he has made for his own people, even Israel. So there will come a time, the Messiah will come, and you will experience all that you need. So a call to perseverance, a call to rejoice, a call to consider why we should not give up as God's people. Even as the Bible says here, as we see the time draws, day approaches, and we see bad things and we are discouraged. We are heavy at times. We don't rejoice in our faith. We don't see miracles. We don't have breakthroughs. And we don't win souls. We don't meet together regularly. We are not on fire. We are not inspired to tap into new things and to new ministries and new grounds and new visions. Well, today, the Lord is encouraging us that we are to do what he is going to tell us. Well, here from verse 19, having told them of the covenants that they had and the sacrifices that were offered in the past compared to the sacrifice of Christ and the all covenants, and now the covenants we have in Christ. Now he is coming also in Christ. Not only we have a Savior, we have a high priest. Now he says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, We have, this is what he's saying, we have on the grounds of all that the Lord has done for us, we have the freedom. I translated the word confidence into freedom because if something has been done for us, since we have freedom to enter, a freedom the Old Testament believers didn't have to go into the Holy of Holies. But we are free. We are free. When you are free to do something or not to do it. But you have the freedom, but there are no restrictions for you to enter to draw closer to God. You are free. That is why he says we have confidence. And they come in perfect tenses in the Greek. I mean like actions we have taken place in the past, but they have effect to this day and to eternity. You have the freedom as a believer in Christ. A freedom that has been granted to you. See, we are recipients of all that God has done. All that we need to do is to take up. Like you heard me last week saying, you are a child of God. Just only being a child of God, you have the privilege of receiving all that God wants to give to his own children. You know the prodigal son? His downfall was that he was in the house of his father who was rich, but he was not seeing himself as someone who has the privilege to enjoy his father's blessings. He thought he could work for them, for the blessings, only to find out that the prodigal son really was a person to enjoy these ones because he had the right attitude to acknowledge that he made the wrong things. And now, even he's not deserving even to call his father a father. And his father said to him, look, you are my son. The good thing that you have acknowledged your sin. Well, here we have the freedom to enter into the most holy place. Because of the sacrifice of Christ, because of the mediation of Christ, unlike the Old Testament believers, like we have read in Leviticus chapter 16, how Aaron, the most high priest, was the only person who was permitted to go into the Holy of Holies and not without a sacrifice himself. A sacrifice to offer for himself because the Bible says he is also a sinner. He had to offer something for himself and then to offer for the people he represents as a high priest. So he will come with the bull, the blood of the bull, and then enter into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the cover, on the Ark of the Covenant. So that is symbolic, that is saying the people of God have been in sprinkles and that God's wrath has been satisfied. And now the guilt is removed, they are forgiven. And the writer to the Hebrews is saying, we have this privilege ourselves. We have this freedom to enter. Not by the blood of the bulls, not by things which were repeated, but by the blood of Jesus Christ himself. You know, the bulls and the goats, they were to be blemished, they were to be male in the Old Testament. I mean, they were there. But here, the sacrifice is Christ himself. And the blood of Jesus, the precious blood that has power, not only to satisfy God's wrath, but also to cover our sins once and for all. And the writer is saying, this is the ground. This is what God has done for us. So he's just giving them why much has been done for you. Just putting, first of all, the freedom you have to enter into the presence of God because of the blood of Jesus. And also a way has been opened, a new way, unlike the old way that was only for a high priest. And also there was like a curtain that was separating people from the presence of God. The curtain that was torn when Jesus Christ breathed his last. When he died on the cross, the curtain was open, symbolizing that now we have access into the presence of God. So this is a living way, the Bible says. It's a new way. Unlike the old way was provisional. That is why the sacrifices were repeated again and again. But here there is no repetition. That is why we don't have to do all these rituals. So that is his body. Jesus broke his body. He broke his body so that we can enter into the presence of God. And Jesus himself being our most high priest over the house of God, like Moses was the prophets over the house of God, like Aaron, they were the high priest and his family and his children over the house of God. And now I got three appeals, three things to you, as it is in this word. Because of this, what I have just said, because of the freedom we have, because of the blood of Jesus, and because of this new way that we have, the writer calls us to do what? These are three exhortations I want to leave with you today. Let us draw near to God. Let us draw near to God. What is the meaning of draw? Let us come. If draw is very hard. Let us come near to God. Let us come near to God. Not because you in yourself worthy, but because much has been done for you. Because God has loved you so much that he has done all of this for you. He has given you the freedom to come. Freedom to come. Because our tendency in our days today is to be discouraged and to think of ourselves that we have to be worthy in certain ways. We have to be expert in the Bible or to be well known of people of faith, great faith. No. It's not whether you are famous as a Christian or you have a great faith or not, but as long as you are a child of God, you have the freedom to come closer to God, weak or strong. The analogy I can give to you, you know, here in Australia, we don't differentiate between the sections of the police, isn't it? They all dress the same. But some, they have a lot of departments. You have the traffic departments, those who are really trained to control traffic as police. In Sudan and other parts of the world, they dress differently from the other departments of the police. So, and you know, the police forces are not well paid in the third world countries. Sometimes they have very low salaries. They stand in the heat for the whole day. They are very thin, malnourished, weary, and they stand around the roundabout trying to control traffic. But they have authority, isn't it? So the richest man can come in his fanciful car, and then this man will just lift up his hand and stop the car because he has the authority. Just look at that. It's not about whether he got a lot of money or whether he's weary or he got the authority. That is what we are having here. You have the freedom to draw near to God, to come closer to God. And coming closer to God in the Old Testament, that was a nightmare, isn't it? They wouldn't come even closer. Whoa, I have seen God. I shall not leave. And then the Israel will just run away from the presence of God, even just sending forth his Holy Spirit. But here, through the sacrifice of Christ, you have the freedom to draw closer to God. And drawing closer to God, what does that mean? That means you can come and acknowledge Him as your Heavenly Father. You can come and acknowledge Him as your Creator. You can come and acknowledge Him as your refuge. The Lord is our stronghold, our refuge, isn't it? Ever presence in our time of troubles. You can run to Him. When you come to God, you come to your Father, to the one who has loved you so much and sent His Son to give Himself as a sacrifice to open a way for you. Why wouldn't you want to come closer to God? Having learned that all has been done for you to come, forgiven, declared, justified, declared a child of God, precious in my eyes, holding you in the palm of His hand. That is who you are. That is what I am. Even in all of my troubles, even in all of your troubles, even when your life was just like between two brackets, we say that in Arabic, something between two brackets is something you can leave out, isn't it? Even with that, you can come. Why you wouldn't want to come? I'm sharing my insights because of the time I spend in this country. So this is one of the things that we don't do very well. You can come close to God even in your kitchen. Even as you are preparing that meal. Even as you are operating on that patient. Even as you are teaching that child. Even as you are driving that car, taking some clients. Even as veterinary surgeons, like that job. You can draw closer to God. How about if you work as an engineer in oil productions, being underground 10 kilometers? Do they do that? Maybe I'm exaggerating. So the call for us is to draw closer to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. So the first thing, the faith. So that is the exhortation, to have that faith that you are coming to God. A sincere faith. A faith that is so clear that it's not you, it's not about you, it's not about your achievements, even not about your failures. That is the faith. That is why it's called sincere faith. Or sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Why? Why we have to do this? Because the word says here, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. It's the past tense, isn't it? You come with sincere faith because your heart has been cleansed. See? As Moses was Aaron was sprinkling the blood, signifying the fact that the hearts of the Israelites were made right with God. And that is what we are having here. Having is already being done, isn't it? And that is why it's sincere. That is why it's a sincere heart that is not accommodating philosophies, pragmatism, existentialism, naturalism, all sorts of philosophies, you see, or ideas, men, traditions. You know, like the problem that Jesus had with the Pharisees, they were lifting up human tradition and they were putting down the word of God. And Jesus said, it cannot be. And so having a sincere heart in full assurance of faith is because our hearts have been made right. You have been given the ability to do that, isn't it? It's not something you work hard to try. I want to be a sincere Christian. You see, you should delight in the Lord, and this is what you will be experiencing. You will be bold enough to say the truth and to live out the faith sincerely. To have no private agendas when you deal with people. Even when you come before God, you don't cover up your sins. You confess them and you declare them to Him because we have been sprinkled the blood of Jesus Himself. Precious blood of Jesus. That is power, power, wonder-working power. In the blood of the Lamb, that is power, power to make my heart right with God. Because the guilty conscience has been removed, has been dealt with, and even our bodies being washed, because that was the thing Aaron was doing. The hearts of the Israelites were made right with God, and also they were purified. They were washed. Is that my phone? Maybe. Oh, it's yours? Okay, sorry. Okay. So here, the people of Israel, to approach God, they had to bathe, they had to wash themselves. And then Moses also here, Aaron, and the Holy of Holies will also sprinkle the blood, signifying that the bodies of the people of God were washed completely. And then they have the right standing before God. So if these things, your self-righteousness is what is stopping you from coming and drawing closer to God, well, you don't have a self-righteousness here. You are not righteous in yourself, but you have been made righteous. So that you can come and bring your petition to God. You can be a great help to those who are struggling. Let me go on to give you the another one. The another thing is hope. Hope. Also, because we have been given this freedom, because of the blood of Jesus, because of his sacrifice, because of the way he has opened for us, we can also let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. The faith we have, the hope that Christ is our Savior, is our Redeemer, is our Mediator. Christ is our righteousness. Let us hold to that, to this hope, that we are not only saved now or saved in the past, we will be saved and we will be saved. The Lord is saving us and we will be saved. Three salvations, you can call them. That is why the writer is encouraging us to hold fast, to hold fast. You see, hold to the garment. Holding fast to the faith we profess. You stand here, you declare that I believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe Christ is the only way to heavens. I believe that Christ is the only sacrifice that can take away my sins. This is what you should be holding on to. This is the second thing to hold to. We draw closer to God and we also hold fast to what we have. But the writer also, in his wisdom, he got the order right, isn't it? God first. You see? Because if God first, and then you will be able to do things, isn't it? You will be able to hold fast to the profession, to the faith, to your confession, to the point where you cannot recant. Death will be your destiny because he will cover you with his grace when you are forced to denounce his name and to deny him by your action or even with other people. To force you to believe in something else, like to confess even like the God of Islam as your God. People have done this. I saw a guy by name, I think he went to be with the Lord last year or 2 years ago. He was a cardinal in the Catholic Church. His name was Johann Gunther, a highly educated man. And you know the Catholic people, they just train you in the classics and philosophies and things like that. Just like you are thoroughly trained. And the things that sometimes are not even the gospel. So this man, he was a professor of philosophy at the American University in Cairo, but he was a cardinal in a Catholic church. One day in an interview, he was being interviewed, and he was led astray in his thoughts. And he said, "Who are you, the prophet of Islam? I want to bow down to you." As a young person walking with the Lord that day, when I heard that statement, I knew that this person is not holding fast to the profession he made even before he became a cardinal. Be aware of this. These are the things that to arm us as followers of Christ, to make us strong in these days, as we have this understanding and the readiness to call to our minds who we are. And these are very important things to know. This is a doctrine. This is a great foundation. It's what will help you. It's what will help you walk with God. It's what will help you to have God on your side fighting for you. Because by his grace, you are holding to this hope. Hope that my only hope is in Jesus. We think that. We sing that song. I was so glad that to hear that a crowd was sung today. He got also a song. Oh, my hope is in Jesus. All my hope is in Jesus. All our hopes, even when things are so difficult and hard, you can trust Jesus. And unswervingly is not turning right or left, not having a second thought. So we are to hold to this. And I love this second part. For he who promised is faithful. Is faithful. What did we read last week? What was the memory verse that was very long? I love that memory verse. There was just a small part that really I liked. Was it says in verse 33, chapter 11, who through faith, those heroes of faith, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. They gained what was promised. The promise was there, but they had to gain it by faith. They got it. It has become theirs. They brought down their enemies. They conquered kingdoms. They were the weak. The Bible says, Jesus, the Lord God said, you Israel, you were the weakest of all. But I made you strong. I fought your battles. So these people, by faith, they gained what was promised. And that is why the writer here is saying, he who promised is faithful. He will enable us to gain what he has promised himself. So holding fast to faith is not a hard thing. Because God wants us to hold to this. And he has promised that he will enable us and help us. So all that we need is by faith we gain this. We gain this holding. We stand. And we don't fall flat on our faces when things are bad. When we struggle even in our relationships. Wives and husbands, children, with parents, schools, levels of authority, leadership in the country. If we trust God, he is faithful. He will enable us that things will be resolved in a way that we are vindicated, not because we are good in ourselves, just because God has given us this freedom to be his own people and to be his precious inheritance. Lastly, so God is faithful. He wants us, because we need to know that his promises are true. His promises are true. That is what should be your attitude as a believer in the Lord. We have many problems, but these problems, in the face of the promises that we have in God, just nothing, isn't it? When I was lying at the hospital recently, it was just like, I didn't know whether it was day or night. It was just like, you lie there, 5 bags of drips, 12 hours, non-stop. There's all sort of things, blood count so low, some functions in the body, just like we're not even right in the place. And yet, God has promised that he will look after me, and he will look after you too. Because the worst thing we can ever do, when things are just so tough and we are in the midst of these troubles, we may think that there is another way out from that. No, that is the same way. We shall get there. So finally, he says this. Because of this, let us not give up meeting together, And here is a reference to love. Let us not stop loving one another. That is what he's saying. Let us not give up meeting together. Because you give up on your fellow brethren, you give up on loving them. One of the most amazing experiences of Christians are these Christian gatherings, where you meet together. What it says that he has been redeemed, she has been redeemed. Actually, you see your faith to be a reality. As you see the faith of a brother or a sister, it's true and shining. That is incredible. That is why Christians meeting gatherings is God ordained. That is why I want all of you to be global Christians or universal Christians. So you can just travel somewhere and then you meet Christians, you are in the family. But we think of our own country so much, and we think of our own families and our own tribes, all sorts of things. And we want to draw near closer to God, and we want to hold fast to the profession we made. It can't work. But you see the order. God, you, and others, all together, we shall persevere. That is God. That is his wisdom for us. And he said, let us not give up. Let us not neglect this, because this is love of God at its best expression. Having that godly affections for your brothers and sisters. And when you meet them, as if you are meeting Jesus, isn't it? That is why they were going together, the disciples of Jesus Christ. They spent time together. They were dealing with their own sins. You see, who wants to be the greater? You see, maybe sometimes we think like that. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? Well, to be the least, to serve the others and to go and clean their shoes, and don't think highly of yourself. You are the greatest in the kingdom. You want to serve them. Just call me midnight. Say, oh, can you help me? I'm stuck somewhere there. Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm coming in a few minutes. Say, oh, this, like that. Oh, yeah. Let us not neglect this. I was just at this conference in Cairo from the 21st of September to the 23rd. Just the waves of Christians coming into that big tent, seeing them, looking forward to that, to meeting together and singing praises to God and to exalt Christ, your heart melts. You are just like halfway on fire altogether, seeing this influx of Christians. And then you start greeting each other, introducing each other. Oh, yeah, my name is Lam, and so Nisreen, maybe Neshat. Oh, these are Egyptian names. Brothers, oh yeah, just like started to make friendship. You have their pictures to this day. Have you ever thought of a friend or Christian friend that you haven't seen for a long time and you want to see? Some people shed tears just as the memories of remembering those who were so kind, with whom they walked to the Lord, to the house of God. You long to see them. This is part of our faith. We long to be with our brothers and sisters who love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and want to bring him all the glory. And these are my friends. That was what David says. He said, those who call upon your name are my fellow friends. Those who love the Lord Jesus Christ are the most to spend time with and to serve and to die for. That is why the writer to the Hebrews says, like, this is how you persevere in this world. This is how to persevere in this world and in your faith. Not to neglect this. Because others have this. They go to, the park is full, and even as we speak now, oceans. People, they don't meet together in the name of the Lord Jesus. But we do this. We love one another. So we would want to encourage one another to encourage one another. You have heard me saying encouragement. We need to encourage one another because the norm is to be discouraged. Well, I want to encourage you today. The Lord Jesus Christ is on the throne. And he loves you so much and he has made the way for you. You can draw closer to God through his sacrifice and also through his priestly ministry. We can enter into the Holy of Holies. Why we wouldn't want to encourage one another? Even if we have sinned, encourage a sinner to repent, that there is a provision. The blood of Jesus is able to remove all your sins. All that you need to come in sincerity and confess your sin and break away from sin and live for God. Let us encourage one another, because in encouraging one another, that is the greatest expression of our love for one another. I met a guy by name James at train station many, many years ago. I think I've said this. He was sitting. I pulled out my Christian literature I was reading, and he was just sitting, a very amazing young man. He was just, I think he was praying in his spirit. And then he just turned aside and he saw the book I was reading, and he jumped up. Are you a Christian? His name was John. And he was so delighted. I said, yes, I'm a Christian. We just started chatting and travel together. And then 6 years later, we met at a house of one of the leading missionaries, the Bridges, Russell Bridges and his wife Ruth. They are working with pioneers, encouraging missionaries to go to the ministry. And I went to their house, and we were there. And this guy, it happened to be there, John. And I said, oh, I met you somewhere. I think I must have met you somewhere. He couldn't remember. I couldn't remember. Oh, train station. Okay. So we were again reunited. So let us encourage one another, because the days are evil. Pray together. Wife and husband, pray together. Let us encourage one another. Let us not just, you did the wrong thing. Oh, maybe you are not loving me anymore. Oh, you always have this attitude. No, just encourage them just to do the right thing. You see, you tell them, oh, deal with that with the Lord. You see, yeah, you bring it to the Lord if there is anything. And you bring your things to the Lord. And then let us encourage one another. Because the days are evil, isn't it? What is what the Bible is saying? The days are just days of discouragement, isn't it? But through faith, we shall overcome. Let us draw near. I picked up one of these to be the titles. Drawing near to God with freedom, with confidence. Let us do that. It's not too hard. You have issues, bring them to the Lord. You're struggling in your faith, bring them to the Lord. And the best places to bring these things to the Lord is in the word and in prayers and meeting together with others. Then we will overcome. A call to perseverance. It's not too hard to do that, because much has been done for us. All that we need to do is to walk and the thing that God has prepared for us. And sincerity and good conscience. Conscience that has been purged of dead works, sin, selfishness. If you are coming tonight, you will hear of Absalom. We say Absalom in Arabic. That is Absalom, isn't it? This man was so rebellious, handsome, but he dwell on that, waging even his hair when he cut them 2 kilograms and something. Why someone would want to? Let us draw near to God. For our God is faithful. All the promises that he has made, he will fulfill. All that we need to do is to come and also to hold fast to our faith, because he has promised he will help us. And let us love one another and want to encourage one another through our meetings. I'm longing for times where there will be great meetings so that we can exercise our faith. We can set to flame the gifts that God has given us. Now they are just like in the cupboard, isn't it? Well, If we are not careful, some people will just disappear and would want to go where they can just exercise their gifts and serve the Lord fully. Full strength. Coffee, they say full strength. Huh? So we coffee. So no, we need full strength. Full faith. Full service. Full meetings. Great encouragement. Sometimes you are encouraged and someone will come to encourage you and he will discourage you. We don't want to be the people who just come and try to encourage and yet they discourage you. Now, when we come and encourage someone, they will be really encouraged. Make sure that as you leave, they are encouraged, not discouraged. Otherwise, you were not an agent of God. Let us draw near to our God. Even now, let us pray. God, our Father, this is our heart's cry. To be able to recognize that you have greatly loved us and gave us access into your presence. Something your ancient people were unable to do. But Lord, you have provided means for them, which were provisional, which were repetitive. And yet in our days today, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ is complete. Is sufficient. And his priestly ministry in heavenly places is the greatest, for he is the most high priest, our great high priest, who gave himself and shed his own blood so that we can come with freedom and confidence into the presence of our God.